Most Holy Father, we ask your blessings upon the message this morning. May you bless it that it might bring forth fruit for your glory. All right, reading from Job chapter 37, verse 16. Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? All right, that's the text this morning for our subject, the omniscient God. The God who knows everything. Put that big word omniscient in the proper perspective and understanding of the smallest child, the God who knows everything. We have a great God. He has sought to reveal himself in the Bible because he wants us to know him, know about him, and he wants what we know about him to be right. Because if we don't have his word and we don't have him telling us what he's like, then we're going to get it all messed up because that's just our nature. And in spite of the fact that he's put it in his word as to what kind of a God he's like, still people get it messed up. So it just seems like, think of what it would be like if God had not given us the Bible, and in the Bible had not given us an understanding of what he was like. Just think of what people would do, how they would envision him, or how they would imagine him, if it wasn't for the fact that he had taken the pains to make sure that we got the truth about him. Even when we see it, we'll not understand it all. Now, in our text this morning, we have there Elihu, one of the friends of Job, that's speaking to Job, and he's talking to him about something that we still try to do today. He's talking to him about some of the things that a weather forecaster would have to know, you know. And so I guess it's a very difficult thing, even back at that time, to forecast weather. He says, "Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him, which is perfect in knowledge?" Of course, the Bible says that God controls even the rain. Scientists tell us how rain comes about, but they can't tell us who causes all this to happen at that time for rain to come. But anyhow, this morning, this is what our God does. And the Bible makes it very plain that he does. Now, God is, according to the Scripture, he has been, and he ever will be, the all-knowing God. Perfect and complete. You see here in our text today, he's perfect in knowledge, perfect and complete, with all that can be known, past, present, and future. All that will ever be known, God knows it today. I can't grasp it in my mind. I accept the Scripture that says God knows everything. His knowledge is perfect. But I've never known anybody like I've known some folks that I thought they were pretty close to this, but I've known that they weren't. It's just like Elihu said here, "Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge?" That says it all. That's it. 1 John 3:20 in the New Testament. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things." So when we get to the Bible, we find that whether you're looking in the New Testament or whether you're looking in the Old Testament, one of the things that God reveals to us about himself, because he wants us to know this, is that he knows all things, and that includes all things about us, and all things that ever will be, ever shall be, all that are now, and all that will be in the future. Now, this means he's an amazing God. This means that he's an awesome God. This means that he's a great God. He says, "I'm God, and there's none other. There's nobody else like me." Amen. He became very angry. He said to Israel, he says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He says the same thing today. After all, there can be, and there really are no other gods besides God Almighty, except the things that men imagine and create in their own minds and fashion with their own hands. But they're nothing to be compared with the God of the Bible when he reveals himself to us in the Bible. There's nothing in the world that can be compared to him. He's greater than we are. We can't even begin to imagine. So you can imagine today how it must look to God, having created little man out of the dust of the earth, and given him what knowledge he has and the ability to learn, to reason, and have a mind, you must understand how God thinks and how he feels when he hears this little thing that he created out of the dust saying, "Is there a God? I'm not sure there is a God. You know, I don't really know whether there's evidence for God. This must really be something else. I just, if God laughed, he certainly would get a laugh out of man. Because this must be something else, this little creature. Questioning the hand, the mind of one and the handiwork of one who is as great as God. Now, when I look at what I've just talked to you about this morning, I want to say this. This is the kind of a God that I can worship. I don't want to worship the gods like the Greeks did. Do you go back and you read about the Greek gods? And the Greek gods were more like man, sinful and corrupt and having their fights and committing fornication, adultery. They were really nothing in the world but glorified men. The Egyptians, of course, made their gods out of just about everything they could come up with. Snakes, owls, chickens, turkeys, whatever. It's just about anything they could come up with. But my friends, this morning, I can worship a God like this. Don't insult me with these idol gods of these other nations. Don't tell me that their religions are as good as the one I have. When they are worshiping what this God of the Bible created and saying that that which he created is as worthy to be called God as the God who created them. I say, no, no, not for me. Not for me. I want to worship the God of this Bible. There's nobody like him. And only Christians today, and when I say Christians, I know that term is used in a broad way today, but I mean those that are born again. Only they can worship a God and have a God like the God of the Bible. All the other gods that people worship are false. That's it. It doesn't please God. He's not trying to get all the religions of the world together today, folks. In fact, He could have done that to begin with. He could have done that at the Tower of Babel or Babel. He had all the people together. If he'd have wanted, listen, let them go their way. They were right then getting ready to run off into idolatry. God makes it very plain. He's not an ecumenical God. Man makes him an ecumenical God, but he is not an ecumenical God. That's false teaching. God does not want to get all the nations of the world together for a world day of prayer. God does not want to get all the nations of the world, praying to their different gods, together to form a world congress of religions. That's foreign to the Bible. Why would Jesus have said, go into all the world with the gospel to these people with false religions? Go and convert them if God was satisfied with them already and all he needed to do was just get us all together into one big old hodgepodge, mishmash of religions. It makes God a difference. It makes God a difference. He makes that plain. Now, there are some scriptures that I want to cover with you this morning that give us an idea of the greatness of God's knowledge. This is not all of them. Sometimes you can take your concordance and you can go for yourself and you can find much out about God for yourself. But I want you just to listen to this because I want you to focus your attention on what God wants us to focus. That's why he put this in the Word. He wants us, when we read this Word, to pay attention to what it says. He wants us to meditate on what we've read. And he wants us to gather into our minds and into our hearts a knowledge of him. He wants us to understand that he is the first cause for the existence of everything. He is the source of everything. He is the beginning of everything. Amen. And you can't go any farther back than God. Amen. That's where you have to start. And you can't go any farther back than him. That's what he wants us to understand. All of fallen man's efforts today, he says, we're going to find out just how the universe came into. We're shooting out there these rockets. We're spending these billions and millions of dollars so that we can understand more about how the universe was formed. You can take $5 or $10 and go buy your Bible and find out about that. Amen. The unbelief of man is costly. Did you know that? You and I pay tax monies for them to shoot up into orbit some space vehicle to try to find out what they've got laying on their tables telling them already the Bible how it all started. But that's too simple. It's got to be more sophisticated for that. So what do they tell us? It all just came into being. Oh, gracious alive. Tell me more, smart aleks. Tell me more, intelligent ones. Listen, dear people, to Psalm 139, 1 and 2. O Lord, the psalmist is writing, Thou hast searched me and known me. You better reckon today that that same thing could be said by us. Thou knowest my down city and mine uprising. Thou knowest my down city and my uprising. You understand, or thou understandest my thought afar off. I don't say anything, but you read my mind.
Amen.
That's what the Scripture says. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Now look at His knowledge. His fact. That's true of every single human being that has ever lived, ever is living now, and ever will live. They said this morning that I believe it's half of the people that have ever been 65 years old are living now. Well, God says, I know that. I know that. Listen also to Psalm 139 and 4. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. You know what I'm going to say, and when I say it, you know what I'm going to say before I say it. Goodness, He knows more than we do. Sometimes we open our mouth and let her fly without knowing what we're going to say until after we said it, don't we? Huh? And then we spend our time trying to take it back. Then listen to Psalm 139, verse 16. And this, to me, is just amazing here. I'll just read a little bit of this. Thine eyes, the psalmist said, did see my substance, yet being unperfect. In other words, when I was in the womb. In thy book all my members were written. What does he say? He said, as I formed in the womb, you had all everything about me already written down, just how I was going to be. You'd already decided what kind of person I was going to be. And he says here, which in continuance were fashioned. In other words, all was happening as I formed in the womb, David says, or the writer says, the psalmist says, all that happened was the recipe was just being followed that you'd written about how the cake was going to turn out when it got through. Isn't that something? Which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. He said, all of this you knew about before. In other words, you knew me before I ever existed. It was just as though I'd already existed. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. That's knowledge that's above my understanding.
Amen.
That God could have written your life story and mine before we ever were born, that He could have written it the day He made Adam.
Amen.
But remember, He does not grow in knowledge like we do. He doesn't learn anything. He is eternal. And everything about Him is eternal too. Well, they say, what is that in the womb? That's a human being that God knew all about and willed to bring into existence and give life to a long time before it ever happened. That's what's forming in that womb. That's not just some tissue. So stupid man, quit killing that human being.
Amen.
He's very much a human being. Also listen to 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 through 13. David is asking a question of God. He says, because he wants to know something that might happen in the future. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. It hasn't happened yet, but God calls it just like it's already happened. He says, he will come down. I'll answer your question. Now, there's sometimes when I'd like to ask the Lord questions like that and get him to tell me like that too. How about you? Come on, be honest about it. You'd like to, even though the answer might not be what you'd want to hear. But notice how he answers him. He knows the future, you see. He knows the future. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbear to go. Well, he asked to know, and what God was saying is, if you stay right here, yeah, you're going to be caught. He said, I'm telling you, he's coming. It's going to happen. So David took the information and he used it. Now, God can say today to people, you know, if you don't turn from your sin and unbelief and trust my Son as your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell. They don't even have the sense of David to take the information and use it.
Amen.
See? God can warn. God warns people all over this globe. And the Bible tells us that the crowd that ends up in hell is going to be far greater comparatively than those that end up saved and with the Lord in glory. And yet, in both crowds, there are those who've heard the gospel. And yet, the greater number of them will not pay any attention to God. I sit sometimes, folks, and I watch television, and I look at those people on there, and I say, what in the world do you think you're here for? What in the world, where do you think you're going? What do you think life is all about? To myself, I think that. They live as though there is no God. They live as though this is all of it.
Amen.
They live like fools. God calls them fools. There's no bigger fool than the man or woman, boy or girl, who does not pay attention to God and His revelation of Himself and what He's like. And He's a holy God and He can't stand sin and He will eventually punish it in the lives of those and in the person of those who fail to turn from it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Matthew 11 and 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. He knows what would have happened had certain things happened. You see?
Amen.
Listen also again. Matthew 11, 23. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. They would have listened. You have had an opportunity, he says, that Sodom did not have. Had they had the same opportunity, they would not have been destroyed. I've given you an opportunity that they did not have. He said, I'm telling you what they would have done under certain circumstances. Isn't that something? He didn't say might. He said would. Listen, dear people. He says he knows everything. Knows everything. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight. Nothing that he doesn't see on this earth among these creatures. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. What? Everything is open to Him. Everything is laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That ought to get our attention.
Amen.
Stop us from playing games. Stop us from being foolish. Who do we think we're kidding? He reads our minds. He reads our hearts like this billboard out here on the highway. He knows what's there. He reads our minds like we read the books, or better than we read the books. He not only knows what we're thinking, He knows why we're thinking it. I tell you, dear people, today, this is the one with whom we have to do. He's no dummy. When I was a boy growing up, I would hope that in some circumstances that I could outsmart my parents. And I could, because they couldn't read my mind. But I can't God. Amen. I thought that I could outsmart my preacher and my teacher at school, because, you know, you can always say sometimes the dog ate it, the homework. The wind blew it out the door and it went in the mud hole. I lost it. They wouldn't necessarily know any better. They'd have to try to figure. That story sounds fishy to me. I'm going to tell you something right now. God's not like that. He knows everything about it. Isn't that something? That's something. Listen, dear people. All things are naked in His sight. That's... Well, I said, well, I tell you, lost people, you know, I've been lost before. I know how they think. Well, and I hear them talk. I've been around a long time, heard a lot of lost people. I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell God, oh, shut your mouth. You're not going to tell God nothing. You're going to be trembling worse than a leaf in a terrible storm. Amen. You never met anybody like God. He see through you and your story. What in the, oh, I'm going to, you know, I mean, I'm get up there and tell him, I know what you're going to tell him. You're going to tell him that the reason why you rejected Christ is because of all the other hypocrites in the church. He already knows that lie. He's not going to take it. He even gave you an illustration of the Garden of Eden. You heard there, you know, Adam said, there's a, God committed to talk to Adam. He said, well, is that woman you gave me? I mean, you really to blame, you know. If you hadn't given me that woman, she wouldn't have been around to give me that fruit. Amen. Gonna put it on God. People say today, if there's a God, why is there so much killing and terrible going on in the world? Well, you won't blame God for what sinful man is doing. Well, why doesn't He stop it? Well, He'll stop it when He gets ready. He didn't start it, you started. You see? And when does man get to be such a peacemaker? He can't make peace. Listen, dear people, this morning, what the Scripture says. Matthew 10 and 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, of course, for some of us, that's not a big task. Right? It's bigger than you think it would until you start counting. I don't have much hair, but if you had to start counting them this morning and really keep an accurate count of them, it would be quite a challenge to you. But God already knows. He knows how many was there to start with. He knows how many is left. Now, that's something I don't know, and I guarantee you right now that's something nobody else knows. Amen. Man likes to sort of estimate. Well, it's sort of within the realm of, or within the... You know, it's just ballpark figure. God doesn't work in ballpark figures. He works in exactness. Exactly. He knows exactly. And God knows all about you. In other words, what do these Scriptures say? He says God knows all about you. He said right now, you could stand up before Him. He could tell you everything you've done now, because everybody else doesn't know everything you've done. Amen. See? Everybody, He can tell you everything you've ever thought, and everybody doesn't know some things you've thought, and we're all glad they don't know. We're glad God's not a blabbermouth like some people. Isn't that right?
Amen.
What He could tell, wouldn't it be something? It'd be something. I tell you what, when He started talking, I'd start walking. I wouldn't want to be around. God knows us. He's saying to you, look, I can tell you, I'll tell you the minute and the way you're going to die, or whether you'll be when Jesus comes, you'll be here or not. I'll tell you the very spot. I'll tell you where you draw your last breath. I can write your history just like I wrote from Genesis to Revelation, and a lot of it's not even happened yet. You ever think about that? I mean, listen, folks. Somebody said, well, I don't know whether God knows everything. That's no problem. Me, He says He does. And if you believe the Bible, you've got to believe He does.
Amen.
You have to believe it. Now, there's a bunch that comes out today in this modern age, and I'm not surprised anything to come out but the truth. And they begin to question whether God knows everything. Now, I'll tell you one thing right now. You can follow that kind of trash if you want to, but I'll go fishing. And I'll get more enjoyment out of what I do than you do following them.
Amen.
I don't even sit down and listen to them. What do people, how do people come up with enough time to listen to that kind of trash? With the Bible. There they are sitting in judgment on the Word of God. You're pretty smart when you can sit up and judge about, well, this is not so, this is not so, this is not. We got a former president does that, he and his wife. And we were under his presidency, you know. Mr. Carter, he judges God's Word, him and his wife. Looking back at his presidency, he ought to shut his mouth.
Amen.
See? He ought to shut his mouth. You say, would you tell him that? Yes, sir. I sure would. It'd be the best advice he'd ever gotten. That's it. I mean, listen, I don't care who he is. Listen, dear people, listen to what the Scripture says. Matthew 6 and 8, but be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. You don't have to be, you know, carrying on a bunch of talk, trying to impress God with your blabbermouth. You know, I mean, I've never been one of those that liked these reports that were signed in school. We want a report done and we want 100 words or we want 200 words. That's bad. That's bad. My teacher used to get that. She got a lot of nonsense. I would write all over. I could have written her a report and a good report with a lot less words, and it would have been solid stuff. Wouldn't have wasted her time. But no, she had to go and say it had to be so many words. And so I tell you one thing right now. I went after it. So a lot of times when I'm teaching back here and they say, I want somebody, I say, don't, just give me a good report. My word is I want something solid and I want it understandable. I'm not asking you to just be a politician. Give me however much it takes for you to give me a good report. I tell Kay that. Give me a good report. That's what I want. I'm not impressed. Look, folks, I'm telling you right now, you saw that health care bill, how big that stack of stuff was, wasn't you? That's Washington. You make that kind of mistake with a human being, they just ride all over the place. Me, I prefer it like this. Just give it to me as sound and solid and as thorough as you can, in as few words as you can, and both of us will be tickled to death. Well, dear people, Lord said you don't need to be trying to slow me under with all those words. I know what you have need of before you ask. Now, that's talking about His knowledge. Now, I said He knows all things. I'm glad. I've said so many times, I'm glad, you know, because sometimes I have come to conclusion with God. I tell you the truth, Lord, I don't know just what to pray for. But if something needs to be done.
Amen.
But I don't know just what I need to ask you to do. And every once in a while I ask the Lord for something, and then, you know, here I am and advising Him on how He can do it. Have you ever thought of the like? You could do this, and you could do that, and you could do this, and you could do that. Have you ever thought about that? You've done that too. He just said for us to ask. He didn't need an advisor. Oh, we ask, and then we, in case He doesn't understand how it could be done, we'll give you some hints. You could do it this way, you could do it that way, you could. He created the universe. He needs our advice. I tell you, folks, sometimes I've become a little critical of my praying to God. I'm talking to somebody who understands. Never have to understand, never have to worry about, and I have to worry about Sister Regina misunderstanding me. I have to worry about my wife misunderstanding me. We have to worry about other people. Communication is not easy. And you tell me this. You understand exactly what you said to your wife or to your husband until they do what they thought you said. And then you say, why did you do that? And they said, that's what you said. And you said, no, that's not what I said. They said, well, I thought that's what you said. And you said, how in the world could you have thought I said that? You see what I'm talking about? Communication is very, very hard sometimes. You'll say something and you'll have one thought in mind. Look, sometimes, here's what I do, maybe you don't do. I'm riding along and I'm thinking about something, I'm thinking about somebody, and I'll just say, boy, old Johnny sure took a fall, didn't he? My wife said, what? Well, I have been thinking about Johnny somebody, and he fell off of something, and out of the clear blue, I'll say, he sure took a fall. Well, my wife hadn't been with me. And she says, what? Oh, and then I have to explain to her how that made sense. She's kind of concerned about me. I just pick up the conversation in the middle of what I'm thinking about and make a statement, and my wife, been with me 55 years, still can't read my mind. Isn't that something? Not so with God. I go to Him, if I go to the Lord, you see a good side to it, and I'm praying, I may not phrase it just right. I may not. Sometimes I don't know just how to say it. He understands. He understands perfectly. That's a great consolation to my heart. He understands more than I understand. Amen. I'm glad of that. Well, all these scriptures plus many more tell us something. Give us an idea of something of the knowledge of our God. And I marvel at Him. I mean, tonight we're going to be looking at the book of Isaiah. And some fellows said, well, Isaiah couldn't have written the book of Isaiah. It's stuff in there that he couldn't have known. Somebody had to later on go back that had lived through all this and finish that book and add to it. Because he couldn't have known all this. You know, I want to stop and say, okay, bright boy, that somebody is God. And He told Isaiah, moved Isaiah so that he wrote perfectly what was there. Can't you see? It's just so perfect until man. You can't corner man. He's sinful. If God gets it perfectly right, man will deny that the man that penned it for him had any help from God. He'll say somebody else wrote it. That's something. What are you going to do? Man is so sinful. All right, so he can't explain it. Well, you can't corner him. He's always got luck. Well, unluck. He runs out of everything. Listen, divine providence took care of you and brought you through. Oh, man, I'm just lucky. No, you're just stupid.
Amen.
That's all it is, and God says you are. I'm just quoting what I heard, you know. I heard it from a good source, too. Now, dear people, let's move along. God knows everything at once. Have you ever been at a test and wished that you knew everything at once? I have, boy. I went the first day of school. I wish I knew everything at once that was going to be taught in those 12 years. I'd gone on back to the house where I wanted to go. I didn't. And they didn't know everything they were teaching me was so anyway, because they taught me some stuff that wasn't true. And what's more than that, they marked it wrong on the test paper, and they didn't know it, and I didn't know it. My answer wasn't right, and come to find out later, their answer wasn't right either. We both missed it, but I got a grade, and they didn't. And my folks didn't like it. My folks getting on to me for something that I got wrong, the teacher didn't know either. I was handicapped. Well, that's what you call a handicap. That's something. You can't win. Kids, you can't win. You can't win. You can't win. Listen, God knows everything at once. There's no growth in His knowledge. I can't understand that. I have to keep growing in knowledge. I am amazed. To me, as I've said before, I wish I'd had the attitude toward learning while I was in school that I have since I have surrendered to the ministry. Learning is an adventure for me. As I've said so many times before, I'll sit down, and if there's nothing else to read but a can of beans, I'll pick up the beans and read the label to see how they made those things. I have an inquisitive mind. I like to learn. And there's so much that you can learn today till sometimes, if you're not careful, it'll drive you nuts because you can't learn at all. But there's so much there. And I say, goodness gracious, I didn't understand how that's how they did that. Just whatever you want to do. Listen, dear people, God doesn't have to grow in knowledge. I have to. He tells me that. I know that. There's no need for God's knowledge to be increased. There's no need for increased understanding. Understanding. Listen, dear people. I didn't understand that scripture said we'd dwell with our wife according to knowledge. I understood the verse mentally. But after 55 years, I understand. Because you got to know something about them. To be able to, the more you know about them, the better you know how to dwell with them. Live with them. Right?
Amen.
That's right. You need all you got. Man alive. If everybody told me, if my wife's mother would have thrown a big old book down and said, this is what you got to read before you marry my daughter, I probably wouldn't have married her. If she'd got everything on there, I said, uh-uh. But if I'd have been wise, I'd say, is that all? And you let me write somebody a note, a book on my wife, I'll write them one. I say, this is what you need to know about her in order to get along with her. And one thing is that sometimes you won't know what's wrong with her. So in those situations, you just find you else something else to do and go on. Lest you're saying, honey, what's wrong? One time too many, and that'll get her aggravated. I told you nothing. Yeah, but that's not your usual way of acting. Well, there's nothing wrong with me. Well, when I'm not acting my usual way, there's something wrong with me. So, you know, I just get right to the point. I just got a lot of things on my mind. Well, I go on saying, I bet I got 5 minutes you could tell me all of them. I don't say that. Huh? That will liven up the conversation somewhat tremendously. Right? There's no need to update the Holy Bible since it's God's Word. It's up to date today. In fact, it's ahead of me. Isn't that right? Now, these little holy Bibles, H-O-L-E-Y, you got to update them because they messed up. They'll revise and come out with a new one and revise and come out. And I'm telling you one thing right now. Folks, it just, fella keeps shooting and missing the target. I doubt if it's the rifle. They keep finding something with the Word of God. Now, God knows what will happen. God knows what could have happened, but didn't happen. Isn't that something? Now, we don't know that. We know a few things that could have happened but didn't happen, but God knows everything. That could have happened but didn't happen. You see that? All the possibilities that could have happened in our lives, just our lives, God knows. And God never forgets what happens. I guarantee you do. I heard that our memory is not all that good. I heard that when we start trying to remember what we thought we remembered, if we come up for where there's a hole, we fill in. And I always thought I was given something I remembered because I knew it. And they said, no, that's not necessarily true. Sometimes when we're remembering, we'll run up there to where we don't, and the mind just fit it right in there for us. And I thought I was sharper than that. Said, yeah, and you'll go before a court and swear to a judge. It happened just like that, and you filled in some of that yourself. I said, gee whiz. They said, that's why eyewitnesses are not always infallible when they give a testimony. That they see things they didn't see. I said, man, that helps me. That helps me a lot. Listen, dear people, not so with God. God always knows everything that's going on everywhere. You can't surprise God. You can surprise us. Well, I didn't know this was going to happen, but I'll tell you somebody that did, God. And perhaps if we'd been listening a little closer to Him, we would not have been in that mess because He knew that was coming and He was trying to tell us and we wouldn't listen.
Amen.
And there it was. Whoop. Well, I didn't know that was coming. Well, doubt if we'd have believed some things would come in any way if somebody had told us. You know, I mean to tell you something. We were children. We will argue about what little angels we have. Oh, my son will never do this. My daughter will never do that. I'm going to tell you something right now. You won't catch this old daddy saying that. You say, why? Well, I believe it's possible for one of my kids to rob the bank and appear on the headlines tomorrow morning. She shot everything in the bank and left with everything but the bank. You say, I don't believe mine to do that. Uh-huh. That's the difference between the two of us.
Amen.
I didn't say they were going to do it. You say you don't have any confidence in your kids. No, they are 100% human. That's enough said right there.
Amen.
That's all needs to be said. All needs to be said. I never did think I had some little angels. And I'll tell you right now, after being around them for about 55 years, I know I don't have any little angels or 53. If they are, I don't know who they work for. If not for God. That's the same way with my mother and my daddy. Same way with everybody. I learned long ago to question my kids' stories. Because they lie. Because they come from lying stock. Yours did too. Yes, sir? Laughing last night, I told my wife, and I'll be through here in a minute. I said, well, we talked about running the name Gordon back. And I said, well, you know, I have to be careful. Some guy came on, his last name was Gordon. I said, he probably can run his farther than mine. I said, you know, I can run mine back to my great-grandfather, and right there I have to put on a brace. Because after my great-grandfather, they started having names like Little Eagle, Running Fox, Running Deer. On my great-grandfather's side, they were Indians. So I can go, I can just follow Gordon, just... John was Herbert was my dad. John was my granddad. And Thomas was my great-granddad. And right there, the Gordon just... Well, my family tree does this. And from there on, it's Little Red Wolf, Little Running Deer, and all of that. That's where I have to go. Listen, dear people. But, you know, God understands all that. I was so surprised when I found out that I'd been pulling for the Cowboys all my young life, and I was supposed to have been pulling for the Indians. And that right? That's a letdown, isn't it? That's it. Listen, dear people. I wondered why I wanted to marry a woman who was so fair-complected as mine was, my wife. I guess that's because I'm a little Indian. I wanted to marry a pale face. I don't hear any Indian run in front of me and start talking about, you know, what your founding, your forefathers did. I say, shut up, man. I'm one of you. And I'll be the first to say that I'm glad that my Indian forefathers, I'm glad the white men came, because if it hadn't, every one of my Indian forefathers, and I, me too, had all gone to hell.
Amen.
They didn't have the gospel over here. They were worshiping false gods. I'm happy. That's it. Well, we won't stay there long. We'll move on. God knows the end from the beginning. Well, somebody said, I wish I did. No, you don't. You heard of people, the doctor says, in 6 months you're going to die, and they commit suicide. Now, if they hadn't known they were going to die in about 6 months, of course, they'd take the doctor's word for it. That doesn't always work that way. They might have died before they had to. But you see how people can't handle it? You ever read about these people taking their lives because they got so many troubles? That's just what they think's going to happen. What if they knew it was going to happen? How many stay around? Not many. A lot of them would kill themselves. I'm perfectly willing to let that stay in the hands of God myself. God has no advisors, and He has no counselors, and He has no teachers. He said to Job, when Job was talking to him, He said, where were you when I formed all this? I didn't need any advisors. Sure, I know a lot of things God should have done, but He didn't. He messed up. You do too. You see? You do too. You know a lot of things God should have done. Wise man, wise woman. Listen, dear people. God has no equal in knowledge. Nor shall He ever have. Get that. Nor shall He ever have. Now listen. I can and I do worship a God like that. And I'll worship Him forever. Because I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let me ask you. Do you worship a God like this? You worship a God or gods. It's not necessarily the God of this Bible. If you're an unsaved person, you're a doomed loser.
Amen.
Unless you turn from your sin and unbelief and trust Christ to save you. You see, you're a loser. You don't have a God like this. I'll tell you one thing right now. I was reading this morning about heaven. I studied about heaven. You see, I'm not studying about home. I'm not home now. Somebody sit here, some young person say, well, if I was your age, I'd be studying a whole lot about heaven too. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. I might take you flowers yet.
Amen.
See, I understand that. I used to be young and foolish too. I used to be young and foolish and count them off like this. Well, he's got so many more days to live. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that at all, folks.